Good morning.
Good morning.
I didn't count today, but I think the congregation does outnumber the choir. I mean, one Sunday we were in competition, but I think that there are a few more people here today. But I know a lot of people are ill right now, and so it's good to have you here today as we gather for worship. The sunshine is out, and it's not frigid cold outside, so it's good to come to worship in this January Sunday. Send a special welcome to those who are visiting today, and I want to invite everyone to stay for a few moments after the service for a time of refreshment and fellowship right beside the parlor in the kitchen. You'll note on the back page of the bulletin the calendar for this week, and do want to call your attention that the annual business meeting will be held in 2 weeks on Sunday, February 4th at 1 o'clock, and there will be a light lunch provided prior to that. And that is, we'll also be receiving gifts for the Super Bowl of Caring offering that day. And those will be staying local to help Bread of Life and support Bread of Life's ministry in going against the hunger, issues of hunger in the greater Malden area. Also, you may note the insert in your bulletin this morning. We are receiving gifts to the Retired Ministers and Missionaries offering. You note the pictures here of some of our own church leaders, religious leaders in the past. You may, if you didn't grow up in this church, you may recall a spiritual leader that helped to guide you in your spiritual journey. And if you'd like to give a gift in honor and memory, or as a thank you, for that guidance, we encourage you to do that through the Retired Ministers and Missionaries offering. Also, there is a sign-up sheet on the hallway for greeters and coffee hour hosts, and as of about 10 minutes ago, there was no one signed up for next week, and most of February, if not all of February, was also available. So if you are willing to be a greeter and or a coffee hour host, we invite you to sign up to do that. That would be very helpful. So I invite you now to take the hymnal and turn to selection number 62 for our responsive call to worship. We'll be reading selected verses from Psalm 149 as we prepare our hearts and minds for worship. So let us read responsively from God's holy word. Sing to the Lord a new song, his praise in the assembly of the saints.
Let Israel rejoice in their anger. Let the people of Zion be glad in their king.
For the Lord takes delight in his people.
He crowns the humble with salvation.
May the praise of God be in their mouths.
May the nations be glad and sing for joy.
For you rule the peoples justly and guide the nations of the earth.
May the peoples praise you, O God. May all the peoples praise you.
We are here to praise God this morning, and our opening hymn is Guide Me, O Thou Great Jehovah, number 96. Those who are able are invited to stand as we sing together.
Thank you.
pray together. God, our guide and our protector, as we gather today, open our minds, our souls, and hearts, that we may be inclined to sense the direction of your Spirit in our lives. Help us to follow you as you lead us to the place that you have created for us. Forgive us where you've fallen short of your will for us, and renew our troubled spirits with the assurance of your love and mercy. We ask this in the name of Jesus, and now pray as he taught, saying aloud together, Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done, on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our debts, as we forgive our debtors. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom, and the power, and the glory forever. Amen. Be seated, and students and teacher may now leave for their class, Sunday school class.
We have an opportunity now to share celebrations and concerns with the church family as we go to prayer this morning. On celebration is Yvelle and Jessely Sylvain are here with their youngest daughters. You may remember that they were members here and very active in Sunday school, and we had a choir going with kids. Yvelle was reminding me that when we had the band that he would go and pick up kids for Sunday school. And it's good to have you back visiting. We remember when there were three children in the family, and they added two more daughters since that they moved. And it's that Kesley, which was the youngest of the children while they were here, is now in college. They just dropped her off at Logan to go back to college in California.
Wow.
So it, yes, they've grown up. But we celebrate. It's a celebration to have you back worshiping with us today. And they live in Manchester, New Hampshire. So it's just good to have you here today. So we celebrate that. That is a celebration. And we want to keep in mind and in our prayers all those who are ill. Volunteers at Feeding Ministry, there weren't a lot because of people being ill. And just every time I talk to someone, I learn of someone else in the church family, also people in the community as well. Who are not feeling well with various things, but they all seem to roll around upper respiratory problems. So we want to keep all of those folks in prayer today. We want to remember our retired ministers and missionaries up today as well in our prayers and be grateful for their ministry in our lives and the lives of others. And you have any requests that you'd like to share with the church family, either a celebration or a concern. Marilyn did mention that her friend Judy passed away yesterday. So we've been praying for Judy for several years and have several, many different health issues, and just her body wore out and did pass away. So we want to keep her family in prayer today. And we're thinking of Marilyn, too, and see what would be a good friend. Anyone else have a prayer request? If not, then let's go to God. Lifting up something that's been mentioned or something that's on your heart. Let's pray together. Gracious God, it is good to be able to come to this, your house this day, to worship you. We just pray that your Spirit will continue to be with us, to bless us, that we may have open hearts and minds to receive your Spirit, that it may all not only move inside of us, but move among us, and that we may be blessed by having been together today. Lord, we look around and notice that several folks are missing, and we pray for those that are not feeling well today, and just pray for your blessing upon them. We pray for healing in their lives. We just pray especially for those that are so sick that they're hospitalized today, and just pray for, again, healing in their lives as well. We thank you, God, for those that have the skill and the knowledge and the training to help us when we are ill, those that are medically trained. And we just thank you for those. And Lord, we pray that they may, you know, not become ill or infected with the diseases, but they may help us and help others who are ill today. Lord, we also pray for those who are in mourning today, and we pray for Judy's family, and we just lift them up today, and just as there's a sense of loss and obviously sorrow, Lord, we just pray that you would, you know, be with them, that you may comfort them and bless them. And just, you know, as you are welcoming Judy into your eternal kingdom. Lord, we pray for others that are feeling a sense of loss today, in this sense that they may also feel comfort from your spirit. Lord, we pray for our congregation. As we prepare to go to an annual meeting and in 2 weeks, we just pray, oh God, that, you know, the reports will be finished, and that that when we meet, that we may have open minds to search for your leading of this congregation in the future. We have such a rich heritage, oh God, and we just pray that, you know, we may continue to look to you for guidance in the present and where the congregation is going in the future. As we think about our heritage, oh God, we are mindful of our spiritual leaders who have led this church in the past. We just pray, oh God, that we thank you for their leadership. We pray for others who have touched us through camps, as missionaries, through other churches and other spiritual leaders, oh God. We just thank you for calling them, and we're so grateful that they accepted your call and that they became guides for us. And Lord, as we receive financial gifts, but we also offer our prayers for those. And we pray especially for those who have passed away, oh God, and that are no longer with us, but their memory remains with us. And we, again, thank you for calling them and for the skills that you gave to them to help to lead us in our faith journey. Lord, we just now thank you again for being able to be together, and ask that you would bless this time together. And we ask this all in Jesus' name. Amen. As we worship today, we've prayed together, we've sung together, we've read scripture together. We have an opportunity now to offer our tithes and gifts to support the ongoing ministry and mission of this congregation. And the ushers will receive the offering at this time.
Together.
Lord, as the choir has sung and reminded us that wherever we look, we see your presence. We pray that you would bless us and bless these gifts as we share your love with others, that they too may recognize you in everything that they see and everything that they do. We ask this in Christ's name. Amen.
Seated. And Dorothy Berry is coming today to read scripture.
Good morning.
Good morning.
I will be reading the scripture for this morning service. 1 Samuel chapter 3, reading from verses 1 to 21. And I'm reading from the King James Version. And the child Samuel ministered unto the Lord before Eli. And the word of the Lord was precious in those days. There was no open vision. And it came to pass that at that time, when Eli was laid down in his place, and his eyes began to wax dim, that he could not see. And ere the lamp of God went out in the temple of the Lord, where the ark of the God was, And Samuel was laid down to sleep, that the Lord called Samuel. And he answered, Here am I. And he ran unto Eli and said, Here am I, for thou callest me. And he said, I called not, lie down again. And he went and lay down. And the Lord called yet again, Samuel. And Samuel arose and went to Eli and said, Here am I, for thou didst call me. And he answered, I call not, my son, lie down again. Now Samuel did not yet know the Lord, neither was the word of the Lord yet revealed unto him. And the Lord called Samuel again the third time. And he arose and went to Eli and said, Here am I, for thou didst call me. And Eli perceived that the Lord had called the child. Therefore Eli said unto Samuel, Go, lie down, and it shall be, if he call thee, that thou shalt say, Speak, Lord, for thy servant heareth. So Samuel went and lay down in his place. And the Lord came and stood and called as at other times, Samuel, Samuel. Then Samuel answered, Speak, for thy servant heareth. And the Lord said to Samuel, Behold, I will do a thing in Israel, at which both the heirs of every one that heareth it shall tingle. In that day I will perform against Eli all things which I have spoken concerning his house. When I begin, I will also make an end. For I have told him that I will judge his house forever for the iniquity which he knoweth, because his sons made themselves vile, and he restrained them not. And therefore I have sworn unto the house of Eli that the iniquity of Eli's house shall not be purged with sacrifice nor offering forever. And Samuel lay until the morning and opened the doors of the house of the Lord. And Samuel fared to show Eli the vision. Then Eli called Samuel and said, Samuel, my son. And he answered, Here am I. And he said, What is the thing that the Lord hath said unto thee? I pray thee, hide it not from me. God do so to thee, and more also, if thou hide anything from me, all of all the things that he said unto thee. And Samuel told him every whit, and hid nothing from him. And he said, It is the Lord. Let him do what seemeth him good. And Samuel grew, and the Lord was with him, and did let none of his words fall to the ground. And all Israel from Dan even to Beersheba knew that Samuel was established to be a prophet of the Lord. And the Lord appeared again in Shiloh, for the Lord revealed himself to Samuel in Shiloh by the word of the Lord.
Thank you, Dorothy. Let's pray together. Lord, as we have read and heard from your holy word this morning, that you call and you can use not only adults, but also children in your ministry. And Lord, but we're also reminded in the call of Samuel that we don't always recognize your voice. We don't always recognize your call to us. We pray, oh God, that this day our hearts and our minds might be open to receive a word from you. Perhaps it is a call to us that will help us, strengthen us, encourage us in our daily living. We ask this in Jesus' name. Amen.
Amen.
Mr. Watson, come here. I want to see you. These are the famous first words ever transmitted by telephone, spoken by Alexander Graham Bell on March 10, 1876, into an early telephone prototype and heard by his assistant, Thomas Watson, in their Boston laboratory. The proof that Watson, who was in another part of the lab, heard those words on a device at his end was that he came when he was summoned. We could say that Watson was the first to take the call, and people have been doing so ever since. And some of those calls have been memorable. In 1969, for example, astronauts Buzz Aldrin and Neil Armstrong took a call from President Richard Nixon on the moon. And in 2015, the U.S. World Soccer Team, which had just won the World Cup, took a congratulatory call from President Barack Obama. Some calls are more infamous than famous, of course. On the night of June 17, 1972, Washington, D.C. police took a call from a security guard telling them he had found duct tape over a lock on a door in the Watergate complex. That call set into motion the discovery of a great political scandal that eventually led to the resignation of President Nixon. Most of the calls that we take, however, are not from famous people and are often about mundane matters. But still, many transmit useful information that keeps our schedules ticking and or updates us on family news or just puts us in touch with friends. You know, lots changed since the phone's invention. Most of us probably remember when phones were wired into the walls and the receiver was attached to the base of the phone with a cord. Some may recall sharing a party line with other households. But in more recent memory, phones at home and work have become cordless, and phones have moved outside through satellite and cellular technology. And today, some of us are more likely to read a text message than answer a phone call. But still, often a phone conversation is vital when a short text will not suffice. Today's scripture is about the young Samuel trying to sleep in the worship center at Shiloh when he heard his name called. He took the call, but assumed the caller was the elderly priest Eli. When he went to Eli, the old man said it wasn't he who called. And after this happened three times, Eli finally realized that it must be the Lord summoning the boy. So he instructed Samuel to take the call, but from the correct party. And so began Samuel's role as a prophet of the Most High God. One problem for us regarding the call of the Lord, however, is uncertainty. It's not that we're unwilling to take the call necessarily, but that we're often not sure if it's our spiritual mobile phone that's ringing. And even if it is, we are uncertain that the voice we're hearing is really the voice of God rather than just an idea that popped into our head out of nowhere. Consider the case of E. Stanley Jones, an American Christian who for years was a missionary in India. He had given his life to Christ at the age of 17. When he was 23, a college president asked him to teach at the college. The president told him, quote, "It is the will of the student body, the will of the townspeople, the will of the faculty, and we believe it is the will of God for you to teach at this college," end quote. At the same time, however, a friend wrote to him saying, "I believe it is the will of God for you to go into the evangelistic work here in America." During the same period, Jones also received a letter from his denomination's mission board saying, "It is our will to send you to India." And if all of that were not enough, he suspected that God's will for him was to go as a missionary to Africa. Jones described this as a traffic jam of wills. And in the end, after much prayer, he eventually became convinced that he should go to India, which he did, and where he ministered faithfully until his death. But at the time of the competing calls, he had no foolproof way to be sure which, if any, was God's will for him. Today's biblical text reminds us that even in times when the world around us is not tuned in, God does speak and God does call people. In terms of the Bible's timeline, the period when Eli and his two no good sons were priests of the Lord, judges ruled the land. This was before the kings were on the scene. So the judges, and those were more regional magistrates more so. And as the book of Judges notes, all the people did what was right in their own eyes. And of course, what many decided was right in their own eyes was nowhere close to what was right in the eyes of God. In such times, it's quite possible that even those working in the world of religion aren't all that tuned into the possibility of the Lord speaking. Notice that it was not until Samuel had run to Eli three times that it occurred to Eli that it was God who was summoning the boy. It wasn't the first time. So even Eli wasn't totally tuned in to what might be going on there. The story in the Bible also shows us that the call of God wants us to take, the call that God wants us to take may start with bad news. For when Samuel heard, what Samuel heard first, his first part of the call from God, was a word of judgment against Eli and his sons. Words which fell to young Samuel to deliver. Eventually, Samuel received more positive news from God and became a prophet to all of Israel. But all of this brings us back to the question of how we discern when God is calling us. It's not like we have a photo icon that appears when we get an incoming call on our smartphone. Unfortunately, it's not that way. In this regard, a 19th century bishop's experience may be useful. His name was John Siebert, who was the first bishop of the Evangelical Church, one of the forerunner denominations that years later came together to form the United Methodist Church. The Evangelical Church focused its ministry to the German-speaking immigrants on the American frontier. Siebert was born in 1791, entered the ministry in 1820, and became somewhat reluctantly a bishop in 1839. Reluctant, because he did not think he was worthy of that position. But in those days, being a bishop of the church did not earn people a lot of respect. It just meant they worked harder and traveled even more than the regular circuit riders. Siebert never married, but devoted his life to the church, traveling constantly to begin new congregations and to minister to people on the frontier. From his journals, we know that he logged some 175,000 miles by horse and wagon. He preached 9,850 sermons, made 46,000 pastoral calls, held 8,000 prayer meetings, and helped establish congregations throughout the Midwest of the United States. For all of this, he received a salary of $100 per year, out of which he had to pay all of his expenses. Bishop Siebert was moved by human need. He wasn't in it for the money, obviously. He frequently gave people money out of his own pocket with no thought of being repaid. In his travels, Siebert became concerned about the scarcity of good Christian literature in German on the American frontier. And that's why on three different occasions, he brought a cargo of such books over the mountains from Pennsylvania for distribution to folks in Ohio in the Midwest. In 1842, for example, he brought 23,725 volumes to Ohio and always had some of them in his wagon when he visited folks on his rounds. He paid for those books out of his own pocket, that $100 a year that he got, and then sold them at cost. Siebert later said that he neither made nor lost money on these projects. It's important to note that before entering the ministry, Siebert was a cooper, a maker of barrels, and he was making a decent living at that trade. But he thought he was feeling the call of God to preach. He sort of had that inkling inside of him. Even though he was successful in his business, he felt that God wanted him to be doing something more. He wasn't sure, however, and delayed answering that call because he was uncertain whether God was truly calling him. This is what he wrote in his journal. "I finally determined, if it be God's will to labor in his vineyard with my evangelical brethren, I should have gone sooner had I been certain that the Lord wanted me to go. However, I had no rest at my cooperage and concluded that the only way to get into the clear concerning this matter was to make an effort. If the Lord blesses my labor with an awakening and conversion of sinners and the edification and encouragement of saints, I determined I would serve him in this way with all my ability, wherever I might have to go, whatever crosses I might have to bear, and however long the task might last." This journal entry describes what we might call the Siebert method, a way of determining if it really is God on the line calling us. Siebert was not sure, and so he finally decided to make a beginning in the direction that seemed right, that seemed like God was calling him. He felt that if that was not God's will, he would soon find out after making a start. "If the Lord blesses my labor," Siebert wrote, "sometimes that's the only way we can determine if it's the right thing to do, by making a start at it, by embarking on that journey. and then we'll find out. Starting is always a sign of hope. Making a beginning is a statement of belief in, or at least hope for, a good outcome. And when we sense God calling us to make a beginning, at whatever that may be, it's important to not let discouragers or opponents or even distractions turn us away. But starting is just the beginning. We need to be prepared to finish what we start. Jesus said, "No one puts a hand to the plow and looks back is fit for the kingdom of God." Nonetheless, nothing ever gets finished that doesn't get started. When God calls, we can decline the call or accept the call. Let's tap accept and see what God has to say. For even God takes this kind of initiative. If God didn't, the created world and all that's in it would not exist. For the Bible opens with God himself making a start. We read, "In the beginning, God created." We find that in the very beginning words of Genesis. And in the book that closes the Bible, the book of Revelation, a voice from the throne of God says, "I am the Alpha and the Omega, the beginning and the end." This is the testimony of God, who is the truth, the beginning, the center, and the end of all creation. God is the Alpha, and God the Omega is a God who is present with us everywhere and at all times. When we begin what he calls us to do, God is with us. What is waiting for a start in your life? Is there anything about which you even wonder if it could be God giving you a nudge or maybe even a push? Have you tested it? Is it possible that God is calling you to get training for something? To start something? To begin the walk of faith? Are there discouragers or opponents or distractions that try to prevent your starting? The Bible suggests that sometimes we have to make a start anyway to find out what should be finished. Not everything should, but sometimes we won't know until we begin. Like Mr. Watson and like the biblical Samuel, the call we hear may be our name, followed by, "I want to see you." Will we take the call? And if so, how will we respond? Let's pray together. Oh God, we know that you are a God who calls people, calling people to service. And Lord, we often think of it as the preaching time and it being a missionary and having a voice for you. But we know, God, that you call many others to be of service to you. And it might not be, you know, to speak, but it might be some action that you're calling us to do. Lord, help us to hear you when you call, to recognize our name when you speak to us. And Lord, give us the courage to answer that call and to be like Samuel, to be willing to do whatever you want us to be doing. We know, oh God, that sometimes that is not something easy. Or young Samuel had to speak against Eli and his family and had to speak your word to them, which was very, you know, very difficult for a young boy to do. But he had the courage to do that, oh God. So we pray that we may have that heart and that courage to do whatever you would call us to do. Help us to accept the call, oh God, and help us to be in your service for all of our lives. We ask this all in Jesus' name. Amen.
Amen.
Our closing hymn this morning is "Where He Leads Me," number 489. And as we finish, don't put your hymnal away because our benediction is responsive out of the hymnal as well. So don't just hold on to your hymnal. I will announce the number for the benediction. So let's sing "Where He Leads Me," number 489.
I can hear my Savior calling.
now turn to selection 550, please, in the hymnal for our responsive benediction. Jesus said, "Peace be with you. As the Father has sent me, I am sending you.
Therefore, go and make disciples of all nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father, and the Son, and the Holy Spirit.
Freely you have received, freely give.
Be strong and courageous. Do not be discouraged. For the Lord your God will be with you wherever you go."
Amen.